Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Vonna Pfeiffer.
And you are listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for ground claw stabbers. Mm. And maybe some artists, too. We throw in a few artists, just, you know, why not?
Okay.
Sponsored by Sassy Jacks, as always. And here's a word from Kim.
This edition of Fiber Talk is proudly sponsored by Sassy Jacks Stitchery. Sassy Jacks is a vibrant young needle workshop located on the picturesque Main Street of Weaverville, North Carolina. We hope you find a way to come visit us soon. If you can't make it to us, then visit us on Facebook or Instagram. We love it when you stop by and say hi, whether it's in person or online. Many heartfelt thanks to everyone who stitched our free download, Aussie Friends. We are overwhelmed by how many of you have taken the time to stitch and post this sweet little benefit for fire recovery in Australia. Please feel free to share this design with anyone you like, including guilds and stitch groups. We'll be tallying up all the posted and emailed finishes through February 29th to determine our contribution to two Australian charities working on fire recovery. Every stitch counts, and we so appreciate all of your positive energy, thoughts, and prayers going to everyone and every animal impacted by these horrific wildfires. Thank you for stitching with us to support our Aussie friends. If you haven't signed up for our winter online class module, Learning Stitches, please join us as we're just getting rolling. You can find the info on our homepage at sassyjackstitchery.com. We'd love to have you join us on this first of many fun and affordable online workshops. We truly appreciate you, and we really appreciate all the good things we hear and learn from Fiber Talk. We are super proud to be a sponsor of this wonderful resource of stitching goodness. Thank you, Fiber Talk, for giving us some stabby pokey talk twice a week. Kim and team at Sassy Jack Stitchery.
Thanks, Kim. That's a fresh word from Kim, too, by the way.
Oh.
Fresh out of the digital factory of Sassy Jacks right there. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can't wait to hear what she says.
Yeah. She talks about her shop. How's that?
That's good.
Because she's a smart woman. She has a chance to do some promotion. She talks about her shop. So there you have it. Yep. That's because she's smart. Friday night live, last Friday, we had a guest. That was really great. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Angel joined us, and we got to talk about her banding sampler work. And she showed some books, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Some motif books from France that she has. And I might have a source. I'm waiting to hear from the source. I might have a source for those books.
I have one of them.
Of course you do. You do realize you didn't need to make that statement?
No.
It was pretty much a given. You do realize that, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just so you know. Yeah, it was pretty much a given. Which one do you have?
I don't know. I don't know which one it is, but it's one that has a lot of alphabets in it.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All red work, alphabets.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know which one it is, though, but it was one of them.
One of them she sent was Alphabet Samplers and then More Alphabets from Early Samplers by Marcia Van Valen.
I think that's the one I have.
Yeah. So she had what she sent me a list. Repertoire. I'm not even going to try the French. Repertory of motifs and something de Cole and Petit Rouge. Those are little red things.
Mm-hmm.
Motifs and then embroidery motifs from Dutch samplers and then two alphabet books. So the Angel has all of them. I'm looking at if this source pans out, and stay tuned. If it pans out, then maybe people will be able to order. But anyway, I want to get a couple of them because I'm into this banding thing and being able to pull motifs and just stitch them into banding. I think that's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, fun, like I've done very little of it at home, but on the road, it's just a real easy thing to set up and do, and you can make some progress, and, you know, it's not Sarah B. in a hotel room, you know? You just put that thing on a hoop and sit down and put my feet up and have at it, and I'm enjoying taking different motifs. I almost spend as much time looking for the next motif as I do stitching a row.
Yeah, I can't really comment on that, Gary, because you're much further than I am.
Well, but you're doing the same thing.
Yeah, I just look. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I like, I look, well, let's see if I stitch this one, what's the path I'm going to use? And, well, that'll work. That could be fun. And so I'll put it in. Maybe that's too heavy here. And I'm having fun just kind of piecing it together. And Angel has got me now, like right now I'm stitching that Bible, the Bristol Sampler Bible.
Yeah.
And so I'm stitching that in the center. And then on each corner, there's some corner motifs. So on each corner at the baseline of the Bible, then I'm going to stitch one of those motifs to kind of frame it.
Oh.
And, yeah. And then further down, I'm going to do that crown. And so I'm going to break away from the alphabet and then borders to put a couple, three of these in just because.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the fun of it. Just because.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it wrong. You can't screw up a design because there's no design anyway.
No.
And it's just rows of stuff. And it's only one color.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's just fun. You know, I just pick that out. I think I'll put that down there. And I've torn a couple out. Nah, I don't like that one. And put something else in. And yeah. And then it's what, for me, it's 102 stitches across. Yeah, 102 stitches across. So it's nothing. You know?
Really, it's not.
Yep. 102 stitches across. That's two threads blank on each side, left and right. And then three threads between rows. That's how I do it.
Well, it's going to be a beauty.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just got to find somebody to put it on a spool.
I know. I wonder who that could be.
I don't know. Got to find somebody who actually has talent to put it on a spool. I'll have to go on.
And you got to find somebody that has talent and a spool.
Yeah, because I don't have any spools either. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a 1-2 punch. Oh, man. All right, I'm going to have to put the word out.
Yep. Mayday. Yeah.
I'll put the word out in Bloomington, Indiana. That's where I'm putting the word out. Mm-hmm. See if I come up with someone. Yep. It's fun. I'm just having fun. It's the kind of thing when I go on the road. See, it's just simple enough that I just feel like I can sit down and do a little bit of it. I don't have to really concentrate that hard. And once you know, those borders, once you do one or two of the whatever the repeat pattern is, you don't have to look at a chart anymore.
No.
You just go. And
yeah.
So, you know, TV, feet up, and just go.
Cruising.
Yep.
Now, that's one thing that somebody either left us a comment or said something on live on Friday night about how do we stitch our with our banding. Do we put it in something? Do we do it in hand? What do we do? And I think I commented in reply, but you and I both put them in our Hardwick Manor seat stands.
Yep.
And we, that's it. Yep. That's what we do.
Yeah. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing is that stand breaks down. I mean, it all goes in one bag and goes in my backpack.
Yeah.
See, and for me, it's just so simple.
Yeah.
And it goes all in there and you set it up and I'm off and running.
Right.
Yep.
That seat stand, I'm telling you right now.
Best thing.
Is fantastic, yep. Is it not?
Yep.
I'm telling you, Access Commodities needs to send us like one just for all that we've probably sold for them. But anyways, I will say this, that is the best thing that I have ever purchased. I have put up all my stands besides that one. And, what's that other one I have? Kay's Creation floor stand. Yeah. And I put them all up because I would say 90% in that seat, using that seat stand.
Yeah, really? That much?
Yeah, I would say that much. And I also would say this is that, you know, how you set, I don't know how people set with it side saddle. I don't know how that works because that's like uncomfortable for me to stitch like that.
Yeah, see, and that's the way I do it. Yeah.
You stitch with it side saddle.
Yeah,
I
have it sticking out to the right under my right thigh.
Sticking out to the right.
So the post is between my legs.
Mm-hmm.
And the paddle that you sit on is under my right thigh.
Okay, well, that's how I stitch it.
Oh, I thought you were I thought you had it all lined up right in the center.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I do. Well, I don't have it. Well, kind of. I put it underneath my, like right underneath my knee, like right where my knee bends on my leg.
That far out?
Just right. Yeah, probably not. Yeah, I would say like maybe back maybe 2 or 3 inches from that, but like right where that is. And then I stitch and I kind of like, I stitch it with the rod way up high and tilted towards me. And I kind of lay back in my, I don't have a recliner, but I lean back. I've been having neck and shoulder pain and I've been leaning back trying to make sure, cause I think I'm like hunched over all day finishing or.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. What,
you know, and so I've been trying to be, make a conscious effort to like lean back at night. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how I've been doing it. And I tell you what, I love that thing. And I wear a nightgown. I mean, I sleep in a nightgown. And so I have, you know, you can't really, you know, you have to like work with that too. So when I'm setting and cross stitching in the evening, cause I try to get my pajamas on like ASAP as soon as the sun goes down. And, I just will say honest to heaven that is the best purchase I have made in many a year was that stand. And that was kind of an impulse buy.
Yep.
Because that, you know, because the lady, I hadn't been at, cause you didn't come to Sassy Jack's right away because you had that podcast or whatever with somebody for your working job. And so I was there by myself and the lady in front of me, and I can't remember what her name was, but she was friends with somebody that I'm kind of friends with. Oh, with Ellen Chester. She was friends with Ellen Chester. Well, anyways, whatever that lady's name is, I'm sorry. She probably is listening. I can't remember her name, but anyways, she was like, well, look what I bought. And I just wrapped this and look at this. And this is so nice. And I looked at it and I was like, how do you like it? And she kind of showed me how she was going to do it. And I like went down and bought one. I didn't even think about it. I just went downstairs and handed my money to Kim.
Yep. Yep.
Cause that's how I roll.
That's right. Yep. Now I will say, because I have the post all the way up as high as it'll go.
Yeah.
When I stitch, because I'm using those 5X reading glasses, and then I have a clamp-on lamp on it. And so that works for me, because those 5X reading glasses have a real narrow, real short depth of field.
Mm-hmm.
But it works perfect for me. So I have it, like, I wouldn't mind if that pole was a little longer.
Yeah, I've thought that before, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. But I'll tell you the other thing, with these banding,
mm-hmm.
I also wouldn't mind if it was a square hoop.
Oh.
Because that banding in the hoop on the curve, it's hard to keep the threads parallel.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And keep the banding taut.
Oh, yeah.
So a square one, I think, would be better. But I don't think they offer it in square. They just offer hoops.
That'd be hard to make a square hoop, I would think.
Right, but you know, they make square hoops, but they don't have it attached to the pole like that.
Oh.
Because I mean, I have a square hoop. You do too, don't you?
No, I have an oval.
Oh, I have it's rounded corners, but fairly square.
Huh? I didn't know that. Well, I don't mind that loose on the sides. I kind of like. To be honest with you, I kind of like my ground cloth to be a little loose.
Oh.
Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I can't get it tight. Heck, I don't know.
Yeah, see, I like it as tight as I can get it. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, I just like to stitch. That's all I'm all about. I'm just all about stitching.
But no, I mean, and that's really trivial. You know, that thing there is really trivial because it's, I can get it tight enough in the hoop and squared up enough that I really, it's not an issue, but it's just, you know, if you want that one little extra thing more, that's what I would want. But I think that thing's great. And then, but it's, you know, break it down. It all breaks down, goes in my bag, goes in my backpack, off to the airport I go.
Yeah.
And you know, if I hit I should never say this, but since I got that, I've not had a flight delay.
No.
Okay.
So you're attributing that to the purchase of the seat
stand? No, I'm saying that my thinking was, if I have a flight delay, it will be no big deal to pull that out in an airport and sit down and stitch.
Okay, now wait a minute. You did have a flight delay. Because remember, you were stranded. You were going to go somewhere, and it was bad weather. And you said, I'm going to pull out my stitching. You texted me and said you were going to pull out your stitching. And then about 10 minutes later, you said, I'm on my way home.
Right. That doesn't count as a delay.
Okay. All right.
A delay is when you're sitting there for 2 hours and you're going no matter what.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
All right.
I got to go home that night. I didn't have to make that trip. That was a huge victory. But I thought, okay, this is easily set up in an airport. I go find a corner somewhere, set it up, and go.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, that's what the beauty of that whole stand is like what you said. It just all,
right,
unfolds, basically. You just unscrews, laid flat, and there you go.
Yep. And to me, that's just ideal. And of course, people say, well, it's even easier if you just do a hoop in hand. Boy, I can't do that. Man, I struggle.
Well, let me tell you. I was stitching. Okay, so I have one of those oval Hardwick Manners that I got for Christmas. And I had one of my little ornaments that I was stitching on in that. So I just was stitching, holding that. And I tell you what, I can't do it. Yeah. My wrist and I know that it's because I finish so much, or I think that's what it is. But I just, my shoulder and my elbow started hurting, and it was like, my goodness, I would not be, this is why the doctor said, you're going to quit stitching, I guess, 13 years ago when he said I was going to have to do that when I went to see him about my elbow and my shoulder. So anyways, yeah, I have to have a stand too. It's not because, I've had people write me and say, oh, you have so many this and that. And, all you need is a needle and a thread and cloth. Yeah, that in theory, that's all I need. And I would not be stitching in theory if that's all I had, because I'm just not able to do that. I just have overuse, of my joints and tendons and stuff that I have to have a stand. So,
I just can't, man, holding it in the hand. I can't do it. I've tried. Like this, this Alice Beerton that I'm working on, I have that just in a hoop, but I'm putting that on my stand. I put it on my stand. I tried. I thought, oh, I'm going to sit in the recliner and just do this in hand, in a hoop. Man, I can't do it. I don't know what, it's, everybody has their thing.
Yeah.
And that's one I got to have somebody, something's got to hold that stand and then I'm good. Yeah.
Okay. Now Alice Beerton, that's the red one, right? You're doing yours in brown and gold, right?
Right. I have a cream linen and a chocolate brown Averissoire, 103. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing it in. Yeah.
I just bought 321 Floche for mine.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
321?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. 321.
It's red.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. Hmm.
I might even have that.
I tell you what, I am sold on Floche.
I know you are. You're all in.
I mean, I'm also kind of wondering, I know that they use it only for cut work. Is that, what is that, the cotone broderie or whatever?
Yeah, that's not as nice.
Yeah.
I don't think that's as nice as Floche. Mm-mm.
No, I don't think it is either, because Mary Corbett does it up close photos and talks about them and shows like the thickness and all that stuff of all three Floche and the two, like cotton number 12 and cotton number 6 or something. And anyways, yeah. So I was reading all about that the other day, but anyways, yes, I am really sold on Floche, very much so.
Hey, here's a tip for you. It has nothing to do with Floche.
Okay.
I want to make sure I mention it before we go on.
Okay.
Tonight, when you sit in your chair, take a hand towel and roll it up.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh huh.
Roll it, not the long way, but the short way.
Uh huh.
Roll it up and put that at the base of your neck against the chair.
Oh.
See if that doesn't help you.
Okay. Well, you're going to know something else that I bought recently. This has nothing to do with stitching, though. I'm serious. I've had really bad neck and shoulder pain, so much so that I almost considered going to the doctor. And if you know me, I hate going to the doctor. So I was thinking all about how I could avoid going to the doctor and fixing this problem. And I was reading about these pillows, and they're made of memory foam, but they're like got almost like a well in the middle of them. I sleep on my back. I sleep on my side predominantly, but sometimes I might sleep on my back. Well, anyways, this memory foam pillow has like a bowl shaped in the middle. So the skull, back of your skull fits in there if you're laying on your back, but the edge of the pillow is like contoured to hold your neck up, and then your shoulders fit in there against it. It's like there's a little cutout for your shoulders. Anyways, it looks like a medieval torture contraption when you look at it. But do you know that I have used that for the last since like the 1st of January, and it is fabulous.
Difference making, huh?
Oh yeah.
And you lay on your back?
Sometimes I do. That's not my preferred sleep position. It's basically on my side. I like to, with my arm underneath the pillow, my whatever side I'm sleeping on, my arm underneath the pillow. And my shoulders and my neck was hurting me so bad that I read that it's better if you have those kind of problems that you should try to train yourself to sleep on your back. So I was trying to do that, but I don't really like sleeping on my back, to be honest with you. But anyway, so this pillow helps. It's for side sleepers and back sleepers.
Okay.
Got it on Amazon.
May have to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, honestly. And when I thought I'm going to be, this is like throwing away $50 because it was $50. And I thought this, you know, sight unseen, I read all the reviews and of several. And I chose that one, and by golly, it's pretty nice.
Okay. May have to check that out.
Yeah, it's really is.
Yep. Well, try a towel at the base of your neck. See if it doesn't.
I'm going to try that tonight.
Square you up a little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Might be worth it. And then you might go, hey, he's crazy. What does he know? But.
Well, actually, I think that's part of my. Yeah, actually, I think that's probably part of the problem. I know part of the problem is I catch myself hunched over, like finishing all day.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And I was doing that today when I was finishing. I was like, now set up. Why are you hunching over like this? And when I like consciously make an effort to put my shoulders back, it's like I can feel my muscles like go, ah.
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep.
So
I know. Yeah. Yeah, and as the day goes on, you get more tired. You slunch over more and more, and
right.
Self-defeating. Yep,
it sure is.
There you go. There's our ergonomic tips for the day. That ends our ergonomic segment. Yep. So Friday night we have another guest. Not going to say who it is.
Oh.
Friday Night Live. We have another guest. Yep.
Who in the world could it be?
Special guest. It's going to be fun. It was your idea. Yeah, that was a good idea. I have a guest. Yeah.
Was it my idea?
Well, I don't remember coming up with it, so I'm giving you credit. How's that?
Maybe it was my idea. Boy, I tell you what, I'm just filled
Vonna,
with good ideas.
Vonna, say thank you.
Thank you.
There we go. Now we got it. Now we got it. Whew, that was tight. I didn't know if we'd get to that.
Oh,
made me nervous.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So special guest Friday night, join in 8:00 Eastern. And then wherever you are in the world after 8:00 Eastern or before.
Yeah.
Had a lot of people from Australia, somebody from Alaska,
Queensland. There was a couple from Queensland,
South America. We've had, Ireland, England, Bavaria.
We had I saw at one point 392 people. I don't think I saw over 392 live at one time. So I hope this week everybody tune in so we can beat our record, 400.
400, yep. Yep. But yeah, it's been really fun. Those are fun to do.
Yep, they really are.
And beer is allowed. Yep.
Yep, it sure is.
Okay, so our next Stitch with Me. So once a month, we're doing either Stitch with Me or Finish with Vonna.
Yep.
So on February 8th, we're going to Stitch with Me, and Vonna's going to field questions and comments.
Yeah.
And then in March, then we'll have another Finish with Vonna, where I'll deal with all the questions and comments, and you'll finish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to do that once a month, alternating like that.
That's going to be fun.
I think so. I enjoy doing both of those. I got to find I've been working on a better camera setup for my Stitch with Me so I can get closer, I think.
Oh.
See, that's a dilemma because I have a macro lens for my digital SLR where I can get right in and show you three stitches if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
But then I feel like people lose the perspective of where it's at in the bigger project.
Mm.
So I don't know which way to go. And I'm not going to sit there and zoom back and forth all day. That's not
happening. I think, you know, okay, so in my finishing one, I felt like everybody could see, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that was just my iPad.
Right. I think that was ideal. That was an ideal distance and everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was just that's because Vonna was playing around with her tripod and was like, look, this can go all the way upside down almost. I didn't even know what I had.
You're so inventive, I tell you.
I know, right?
Yep. Cutting edge inventive. That's right.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's always just accidents.
Well, all right. Go with accident, but, you know.
Happy accident.
I was trying to sell it. I was trying to sell it and make you look like you're on top of the game here. But if you want to go with just, I stumbled over it and got lucky, then go ahead.
No, that's all it was. I'm being honest. I was just like, I was messing around. I thought, what does this knob do? And I've had this like tripod since like, oh gosh, my kids were little. And I was like, what does this do? And I'm not kidding you. I was like, oh, this goes up. I didn't know that. And then I was like, oh, look, this goes all the way down. I didn't realize that. I'm just like,
okay, all right. It's absolutely dumb luck. Never mind.
I know it is.
It's just
it is
dumb luck. I'm not even going to try anymore.
It is dumb luck. I was just like, oh,
because your oldest kid's 20 plus years old. I'm just going dumb luck.
Yeah, no, it is dumb luck.
It has nothing to do with it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. I take all that back. Yeah. 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 Never mind. yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're also now we started the beginner series. Okay, we've threatened the beginner series many times, and we actually recorded two.
Yeah.
And I screwed up the recordings after the fact, but that really had nothing to do with it because we recorded them over Skype as a Skype video. And now, based on what we based on what we've learned with the live shows and everything and the new software I bought, we can do it so much better.
Yeah.
And there's so much more flexibility and ability to show things, different cameras and things.
Yeah, I've got my microphone now.
Yeah. We're just better off all the way around. So we're starting that all over. So we're going to record two this week, the first two. We're going to redo the first two. And get that beginner series started because a lot of people are asking for that. There are plenty of other beginner type videos, but we'll have our own unique spin.
Yeah.
But so that's coming up soon. We're going to do that, but we can just do it better now. And the way we did it the first time around, it was, even if I had not screwed up the files, it was just not going to be what we can do now. So
yeah, I did. Yeah. And I didn't feel good about them to be honest with you. No. So it didn't hurt my feelings when you lost them.
Good. Cause I was mad and felt bad because we'd taken time.
No, I didn't like them. So
yeah. So, so that's coming up, our beginner series, and, it'll be a couple of them a month, I think is what the plan is. So yeah. Looking forward to that. It was fun doing them, but we can just do them a whole lot better now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's coming up. We have so many things coming up. We're going to have to do them. Speaking of coming up, we talked about this a little bit last time. All these projects we have going.
Oh, gosh.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting like overwhelmed, to be honest with you. And that's, you know, I don't really get overwhelmed about too many things stitching related.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Now, yeah. Sarah visited us. Our daughter Sarah visited us for, she was here for a baby shower this weekend.
Oh, uh-huh.
And Sunday night, I was sitting there stitching on Alice Burton. And leaning over against the cabinet to my right was two big Millennium frames, one without Sarah B. on it, and the other with the Queen sampler. And then Sarah knows about the one that I'm doing that is that has her name on it. That, uh-huh. You know, and she says, why don't you, at some point, why don't you just finish one of these things? I did not have a good response for that. I did not. And it's just, you know, Sarah's like that. Why don't you just actually finish something sometime? So then I held up the Aussie Friends thing that I finished.
Oh,
I said, look, that's finished. She says, come on, that's a small thing. Look at these things. When are you going to finish one? And this, that got me thinking too, you know, at some point we got to get going. We got to get somewhere because we keep doing the shiny, next shiny thing.
Right. You're right. We do.
Yeah.
So I was thinking the same thing. That's why whenever you said we need like subjects for today, I was like, we need to talk about that again because we just kind of hit it briefly at the end last time.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, we got to, because, all right, so on my list is on both of our lists is the banding sampler.
Okay, yeah.
That's a travel thing, so I don't count that.
No.
But then I thought, all right, I got to prioritize. What am I going to do? What am I going to finish? You know, so then for me, it's an absolute coin toss between the Queen sampler and Sarah B.
Yeah.
Absolute coin, like work them simultaneously.
Yeah.
Because I want to keep going with both of them.
Those are the two, and I'm not just saying this because you said this. Those are the top two on mine too. I want to get both of those done, and I'm gonna expand on that a little bit. Everybody knows that you can do it. I mean, everybody knows that you'll come through and yours will look great. I think people are still waffling about, can I do it? And
the Queen sampler,
even the Queen sampler.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely, you can do it. Come on.
Well, and even I'm like waffling on, can I do it? And I we have like put that really honestly, I have not worked really hard on the Queen sampler for like 6-8 weeks.
Oh,
so yeah,
see, I've been picking away at it. Yeah.
Oh, well, see, I haven't. So yeah. I really got to get my head out and get I've got to get going on that. Okay. So here's the other thing that's going on. I'm doing that MFE, the modern folk embroidery.
Yeah.
And there is a heck of a lot of stitching in that.
Yep.
In every part. And I really want to stay current with that. And I'm struggling to stay current. You know what I mean? I really am. I mean, I'm putting in some pretty good time in the evenings on... I mean, not every evening, of course, but I try to hit it at least once or twice a week, right? And I'm still not done. And February's fast approaching, and that's when the next band comes, you know, the next square comes out.
Yeah, so, see, that's what gets me with those stitch-alongs. Every stinking time is just that.
Yeah.
Man.
Because it's
such
hard.
A commitment.
Yeah. So I've got that going. And then I'm doing that I Stitch Designs, which I'm going to kind of consider that kind of my band sampler because that's kind of what it is, right? It's a band sampler on banding. And I'm current with it, but the next part came out last Friday, and I haven't even looked at the next part. So I've got to get current on that. And I want to keep those up as much as I can because let's face it, if I don't stay current with those, they will never get done.
Right, right.
They won't.
See, that's where I have trouble. You know, and those stitch-alongs always look so cool going in. But see, for me, that's where I have trouble is you're under the gun to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't take me very long at all where it just is no longer fun.
Right.
You know, I am pressured to get this done, and so it's just no longer any fun, and I just set it aside. Because mm-hmm. I get behind a month and I think, I'll stitch, I'll get caught up. And then I'm under the gun. I just don't, No. That's why I'm just not doing any more of them.
Right. But this, Jacob's was so beautiful.
I know.
And it was based on a sample. It was based, called the Family Patchwork Sampler.
I know. It's beautiful.
I'm just all about patchwork, and I'm all about family too. So anyways.
And you put a combination together to beat all combinations.
That gray
charcoal gray ground cloth and that floche. I mean, that is absolutely a winning combination. But I just can't. It's that pressure. Man, you got to keep up. Now, here you are, what, the 28th or so of 29th of January.
Yeah, I got 3 more days.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And then you're behind. Yeah.
Right. I know. And so. That's why I'm kind of getting panicky about it. And then I look at Sarah B. And I think, oh, that's so beautiful. And then I see people's that are done and framed. And I think, God, that's so beautiful. I want mine to be, framed. And then I see the queen sampler and I don't want that to like go to the, And the sad thing is that too, I'm kind of behind on ornaments for my kids. I have holes in places for my kids. And so I've been trying to do ornaments for
from previous years.
Yeah. From previous years.
Oh.
So I've been trying to fill in holes for that too. I've like made kind of a goal to like have one ornament a month done.
Uh-huh.
So between ornaments, the Modern Folk Embroidery Family Patchwork Sampler, the iStitch Designs Burgundy Sampler, Sarah B., and the Queen. That's 5 things that I have as my goals every month.
See, and that's too much for somebody who's got finishing and working at the quilt shop, man.
And I've been cranking out a lot of quilting, too, lately.
And on top of that, a family to take care of. That's a load.
Yeah, and then I got called this afternoon, and they want me to work Thursday, too. So I'm working – I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday now.
More power to you. Yeah, more power to you. No, I – for me, it's the banding sampler, my road thing, and then Sarah B. and the Queen sampler. And that Queen sampler and Sarah B., I shouldn't say live for the day because that's a little over the top, but I really look forward to the day when I can hold both those up and say, look it, finished.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I know. And then there's somebody that I have seen on somewhere, sampler years maybe, that has posted like her queen sampler. Now, I don't think she's doing the queen sampler via Linda Vinson's stitch guide, but she's doing it. She's working on it just. And it's like, gosh, dang it. Look at that. We got to, I know I've got to get my head out and get something figured out here.
Yep. And I am determined. I'm telling you, when Fat Tuesday gets here, everything stops.
Everything for just to focus on that.
Anya's day. And I am going at it. I am literally going at it full tilt. Yep. I am. I'm going to see just what I can do. Between Fat Tuesday and Easter Sunday, I just want to see what I can do. Midnight Easter Sunday, just want to see where I'm at.
Well,
that's my massive challenge.
That is a massive challenge.
Yeah. So, yep. No, I'm going to actually head that out the other day. I'm going to get that squared up, get an edge sewn on it, and get ready to go. Find the center, get it lined up so that when Fat Tuesday comes, we're going.
Oh,
yep. I want to see that 5200 floche on that purple cloth that Jessica Grimm sent me. I want to see that. I think that is going to be outstanding.
Yeah, it's going to be outstanding. All right. I don't know how it's going to be outstanding, but it's going to be outstanding somehow.
So I don't know. Yeah, but I think we're not any different than a whole bunch of people.
No.
Yeah, but I want to get some. This is some of this has got to get done. Too many things floating. because I cleaned up my tabletop yesterday, and I realized the reason it was a mess and I had no working space was because I had too many projects in the, you know, in the middle. And okay, this has got to stop. It's
just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yep. Okay, yeah. That's so Sarah B and the Queen for me till Fat Tuesday. Then Agnes Day until Easter, and then we'll see.
Okay. I don't know. I just don't feel like I'm getting anywhere with anything, to be honest with you. Oh. So you don't really and well, I know, but I know. Okay, so but most people how do people well, okay, so like Judy, the one that Judy Hall, she's the one that's already finished therapy, and we met her. Maybe have you met her before? Yeah. We met her down. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, you know, she got her therapy done, and she is notorious because I've read her blog for many years. She's notorious for one at a time stitching. She is monogamous.
Yep.
Maybe I need to be monogamous.
Well.
I'm just not a monogamous person.
Knowing you, good luck. I would just extend a hearty good luck.
Yeah, I'm not monogamous.
No.
I can't do that.
No.
I kind of felt monogamous to the Queen until for a while, and then I kind of did not get... Well, then the holidays, that's what it was. The holidays hit. And always when the holidays hit, I have like 101,000 things to get done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it all kind of fell apart, but I can get it back in. I can get it back together. Hopefully.
Okay. All right. We'll look for that.
Okay. Yeah. Don't hold your breath.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not. Trust me.
Oh shoot.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, it's. I don't know what that is, because people. You know, we're not alone. I mean, people all over the place have multiple projects going. And a whole bunch of stuff that they hope to stitch someday.
Right.
But yeah, for me, there's just enough going right now. I gotta get going. But then now, like this past weekend, except for Sunday night, I didn't stitch any. I was sick, didn't feel good. You know, I just didn't have the energy and, had an entire Saturday. Didn't do one stitch. I just sat in a recliner cause I just didn't feel good. So you have those days too, where
it's just more of a chore. And if you're going, and it shouldn't be a chore, no, it should be something that you can't wait to get to your chair to do. And that is how I look at it every night. Honestly, I just can't wait to get to my chair to stitch. And, I've been trying to do better in the morning about making time for me. And I've been quilting a lot in the morning, and that I kind of like that because it's like a different way to use your brain.
Right.
When you you know what I mean? When you quilt, it's a different way, and it's a lot of math. People that don't quilt, I don't think, realize how much math it is. But it's a lot of math. And like today, I was quilting, and it's like 3.5 plus 3.5. Okay, so that's 7. And then, you know, and I was like doing all this math, and I was like, good gravy. I can't, you know, because then you have to think, and then it's a quarter inch, and so, you know, for seam allowances, and so how big should this block be? Well, I was like I had like confused myself like 50 times over until finally I realized, you idiot, it's supposed to be 7.5 square, you know. But I had done it like over and over and over and over and over in my head, and I was like, why is this not working out? But anyways, it is a whole different skill set when you quilt.
Yeah.
And I kind of like it because it's kind of challenging. You know, it's sort of like doing a puzzle, sort of. And I am like, I think I've mentioned this before, but I'm like shapes challenged. Like I can't like shapes like kind of blow my mind a little bit. And like today I put this block together and it was Doves in a Window is the, for any quilters out there. My quilt guild is doing a challenge quilt this year. And this year it is any quilt, any size, using any fabrics, that represents best your favorite book. Okay. Well, I could go, you know, I thought, okay, the Bible, I could do Jacob's Ladder because, you know, Jacob's in the Bible. Yeah. And then I thought, Nah. You know, toss that out. And but the one thing that really comes, the very first thing that came to my mind, because that's also kind of being like a goody two shoes if you say the Bible's your first, your best, you know, your favorite book. But really, honest to heaven, the very favorite, there's two book series, two authors that I read.
Everybody else in the room goes, oh, I've got this. She went the Bible route. Oh, man. No, no, God, never mind. You know, my favorite book, just never mind.
Well, somebody, some lady in the quilt guild the night that it was announced goes, oh, great, I'm going to do 50 Shades of Grey, a 50 Shades of Grey quilt.
And then you played the Bible on top of that, right? Oh, man.
No, I just laughed. Anyway, so I was like thinking about what could I do? But there's two series
of books.
I'm
a level higher. I'm using the Bible.
That'll strike down that 50 Shades of Grey. The two series that I read over and over and over and over when I was a little girl, two authors, Little House on the Prairie and Beverly Cleary, like Henry and Ribsy and Beezus and Ramona and all. I owned all of those books. I loved Beverly Cleary. I would save my allowance to go buy books. I know that sounds crazy, but I was really a voracious reader when I was a little girl. And Little House on the Prairie, I own the limited edition series. I own the original series. You know, it's all the same books, but it's one's colored, one's this, one's that. I got like three sets of Little House on the Prairie books. Anyways, how do you do a Beverly Cleary, Henry and Ribsy book? Well, you could do fish blocks because, you know, Henry and Ribsy went fishing, caught salmon, or they had, you know, but, you know, I don't want to do a fish block, you know, and I was trying to think, you know, how could I do Henry and Ribsy, and or I could do dogs, or, you know, I thought, I don't want to do that. And so then I thought, okay, it has to be Little House on the Prairie. And then I was sitting and thinking, well, which block, which block, which block? And I finally remembered that Laura did a hope for her hope chest. She did a Dove in the Window quilt. So I thought, oh, okay, I'll do Dove in the Window. Well, of course, Dove in the Windows is like 16 half square triangles. And that's really about it, the only hard thing. But it's just a lot of piecing for one block. Well, anyways, I don't know where this story was going to other than it was a big, I'm doing Doves in the Window and it's a lot of piecing and there was a lot of math and half square triangles. But I got two together this morning and I was pretty proud of myself. And I think I finally got my quarter inch stitch locked in and loaded. Now I think I've got it good on this new machine where I know I used the laser light. I did not use my quarter inch foot because I don't like it, but I got my painter's tape lined up right. I think everything worked out great today. So there you go.
All right.
And this ends the quilting portion of Fiber Talk today.
Thank you.
No
problem. Enlightening.
Thanks.
All I know is I put edge on some linen the other day and I looked down through the little window and saw that my bobbin was about to be emptied. And so that means now I got to go through that 3-hour process of reloading the bobbin and getting it actually in and working. I hate that. What a pain in the butt.
What kind of, you've got like what, a Singer Inspiration or
no,
something like
just
that?
It's a Brother, you know, it's just a lower end Brother one because all I do is put zigzag on linen. But that bobbin thing, what? Who invented that? Jeez. And, you know, and of course the instructions, oh, it's just so easy. It's automatic this and it hooks in and it, you know, no, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Ever. I spent almost 4 hours one day trying to get the bobbin in. I was so mad.
Next time you need to just like FaceTime me and we'll like do it together.
Okay. I may just do that. Halfway through, I realized I had the bobbin in going the wrong way.
Oh,
so that was, yeah, that was okay. All right. You idiot. But then I thought, okay, now I'm home free. I got it flipped over. I'm home free. It was, you know, 2 more hours. Finally, I got it. And it's just, Yours probably goes and gets the thread and puts it on the bobbin and inserts it in the base, right?
No. No, but the new one is pretty swank. It's self-threading.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's self-threading. I just hit, you know, I don't even have to thread the needle. I just hit a button and it threads the needle.
Yeah, mine's self-threading with my two hands. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It threads the needle.
It's awesome.
Oh, man. Okay, you win. You win, absolutely. Okay. All right, Sunday. Don't miss Sunday. Everybody, do not miss Sunday. Rebecca Dollimore. Oh, I think I said that wrong. Dollimore? It doesn't matter. I said it right in the show because I practiced. She is responsible for Seed Madagascar and the Stitch St. Luce Women's Embroidery Cooperative in Madagascar, where they have developed a program that has taught women how to do needlework and make products that they can sell to tourists on Etsy, wherever, to help. You know, these are people who have, who live off the land, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And these women then making money so that their kids can go to school and get education, and their families can have a little bit of money so they can actually have food other than what's caught out of the ocean every day. And just a tremendous story. And so Rebecca is part of this team that has made this happen. And what is just a tremendous story about how this has built up in really a fairly short time to where this cooperative is now independent. They're not reliant on any outside funding. And they're able, and it's just terrific. So I really enjoyed talking with her. And then I'm waiting for the instructions, but there'll be an opportunity for us, because I said, well, what can we as stitchers provide? Well, thread and needles.
Oh.
That's it. So DMC floss and needles. So she's going to send me instructions for how we can contribute to the cause and wow. And help these women with more supplies, because that's really all they need. They have, I think, plenty of cloth, I'm pretty sure they have plenty of cloth. And but this is just a tremendous story about how they've done this and how they've taken a whole community, well, several villages, community people, and raised the level, because I mean they live off the land. I'm not going to use, I don't think the word poverty counts. I mean, there are people who simply live off the land. What they catch and what they grow is what they eat. And education is something that they hope for their kids, and they're able to do that as a result of this. And I had a great time talking with Rebecca about this and learning about it. And really anxious. I literally am anxious for people to hear this one, because it's just a really neat story about how people have used needle and thread to help people. And yeah, pretty excited about it.
Now they make the beaded bracelets, right?
Right. They make there's some bead work, and then there's just some stitched bracelets, and then they do some pillows. And I think there's some commission work, if I recall correctly. Yeah. And then they teach. So that they've started out with an initial group, and now they've taught others how, and it's built up. And these are women who are doing this in their spare time. And I use that term loosely, because these are women who are hauling fresh water and cooking and, doing all the things that you have to do in a day in addition to raising kids. And so in their spare time, they're doing this. And the sense of community it's brought, it's really just a tremendous story. Yeah.
Ellie has a bracelet from them.
Does she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We bought one at Christmas time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's not slipshod work, no.
No.
No, it's the real deal. But, I'm really, really anxious for people to hear this one. It's, and Rebecca is just tremendous. She knows, of course she knows her business. She filled us all in, and it's a good one. It really is. So that's Sunday. Yep.
Awesome.
Yep. So Friday night live with a special guest. Mm-hmm. Sunday, Rebecca and
yep.
Stitch St. Luce Women's Embroidery Cooperative. And then next Wednesday is Debbie Rowley.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And then beyond that, I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, me either. My head hurts.
I have no idea. All right. That's going to be it.
All right.
Yay.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening.